Lawrence.
Hallelujah.
I was told I'm the afternoon guy, so I trust the Holy Ghost will be merciful to all of us. Amen. And use this vessel of mine to share what he has in mind. Father, we come before you in this moment and we pray that your presence would be here mightily. We are not interested in anything but your own word and your presence. My God, I pray for Holy Ghost to be touching every single soul gathered in this place. My Lord, unless you open our eyes, and as was shared in the early this morning, our understanding, unless you give us not just the knowledge, but the wisdom and understanding, unless you open our eyes, we won't be able to see. So I pray, Lord, that you would open the eyes and that you would put a fire in the heart of every person being in this place. My God, I pray that your presence would be dwelling so mightily here, that every flesh, everything else, every commotion, everything which would take us away from your presence, away from your understanding, away from your ability, from our ability to hear what you have to say, that it would cease. My God, I pray for your mercy. Hallelujah. Help me not just to utter and share what you have in mind, but help us to open our hearts, to get hold of it and use it. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. It is a great privilege to be here, I have to say. It always is. And I'm saying this square is holy, but I'm so much aware with every hour that it is not something cheap and to be taken lightly to be standing here and be offering ourselves to the Lord that he will speak through us. Amen?
Amen.
I don't think and hope you are not interested in what I have to say. I trust that always whoever comes, you are interested in what God has to say using this, using the vessel. Amen? And that puts us in a very challenging position, isn't it, brethren? The main job is to step aside and let the Lord work. I am more and more aware of our inability to achieve what God offers us to achieve. And yet I'm aware more and more of his ability to do it through us and with us. Amen?
Amen.
And for us. So, as I said, I'm very privileged I can be here, and I have also experienced that when we share, when I share word, and I know God is moving, I know that it's moving, and I get the blessing too. So,
amen.
I'm here to be blessed. I see the need for us to be able to see. Amen? Because the scripture says that where there's no vision, people perish. Amen? We know the scripture, don't we?
Yes.
We know this principle, perhaps. But I'm not sure we have the vision. You know why? I see too much perishing. Don't you? Don't you see too much perishing? Don't you see where the human mankind is? And what about church, if we can call it this way? Amen? Is it getting any better? Is the church system getting grasp of the truth? Is it a coming to closer relationship with God? Is it repenting of their sins, as church should be doing? Is the church becoming the salt for the word, for the world? Or is the church becoming like the world?
Yes.
Amen.
Huh? And you know, when you see, the, what is the word, decay, would it be a good word? Yeah? When you see the decay, when you see it going downhill, I believe one of the reasons is there is no vision. And it would be nice if we talk about the outer core church, about the English church, and about the Catholic church, and about this Pentecostal church. Wouldn't that be great? You know, and we would say, oh, praise the Lord. You know, we are not like them. But I'm afraid when we look at ourselves and be honest enough and allow the Holy Ghost to convict us, we would realize even we might be missing some of the vision. And you know what vision is? I can't help it, but it's derived from Latin word, unfortunately, but that's perhaps you can get over that. And the Latin word is very simple, isn't it? What is it? To see. Visio. See. Alright, so vision is not just a thought. It is not just an idea. It's the ability to see. Amen?
Amen.
What do we see? What is the thing you are aspiring to? What is the thing we are aiming at? What is the thing, brethren, what is the thing we are seeing? What are we after? You know, I see people sometimes, and the people do crazy things. You know, sportsmen, isn't it? Isn't it so? You've got musicians, you've got different people, and they would wake up in the morning, they would run for miles, and they would do things, and over from youth, and they would wear certain type of dress, and they would do certain things. Amen? But I see, and I was wondering about these people. Why, or what gives them the power and the ability to do so? Because there are other people who join them for a season, isn't it true? And they do it. So, hey, it's kind of nice to be running, and they do. But it's nice for one morning, but another morning, and another morning, and another morning, you kind of get tired of it. And you know what's the difference?
Vision.
The vision.
That's right.
You just can't do it if you don't have a vision.
That's right.
Brethren, we cannot make it to the sons of God. We cannot make it to fullness unless we have the proper vision. If we see a church, if we see a functioning church, if we want to become like the other churches, just with better doctrine, we will not be willing to pay the price.
Yes, that's true.
Amen? If you do not know about what is in the ground, if you don't know what is there in the field, you won't be able and willing, of course, to sell everything you have to purchase that field.
That's right. Amen.
Because it doesn't have the value for it, does it?
Yes.
Because you don't know the price of the pearl, which is just another parable, saying the same thing. You know what I mean? And you see, I don't know how it's in your around you. We have people who would come and join, and a few months later they'll be gone. And you know, I said, God, that's fine. That's one of our jobs, to give opportunity for people to hear and reject. That's part of it. Let's get used to it. I mean, Jesus didn't do any better. People went there, he fed them with bread, he did miracles, and they were excited. And when he went into the Word, they say it's too hard to hear it. Mm-hmm. You know why? They didn't have a vision.
That's right.
They wanted to have a Messiah of this world. They wanted to have a Messiah who would be leading them and make them ministers. Mm-hmm. Government ministers, I mean. Make them politicians and powerful and rich and healthy. Amen? They were waiting for somebody who would challenge Caesar. Somebody who would make Israel a number one nation. Actually, they just wanted to be Rome. Isn't it so? Mm.
Yes.
They just wanted to be Roman. They wanted their Messiah to be really Caesar. Amen?
Amen.
They desired... well, Rome is just a religion system, isn't it? Religious system. It's another Babylon. Mm-hmm. You know, but God had something else in mind since the beginning. And this is why they were struggling and fighting. And this is why they hated Jesus so much. Because he said the concept is sick. Something in your soul is sick. Yes. There's something there which is not compatible with what God has in mind.
That's right.
Yes.
Amen? And it will never be unless we ask God to change our total perspective and understanding. If we are desiring to build, and I don't know what name you want to give it, kingdom message or this or that or whatever, you know, church, denomination, you will be disappointed. It'll never happen. Amen? Or it will happen and God won't be there. Right? So, what is our vision then? Because if we have rejected the vision of church, if we have rejected the vision of religion, what do we have then? When people would ask and say, why are you putting all this effort into this work? Why are you sacrificing? Why are you doing these things? What is it you see? Because when there or where there is no vision, the people perish. And you know, I see sometimes certain demands being made on people. And especially those people who have grown as children under this word. Because there is a certain difference. My mother told me, well, maybe I don't even tell you. You know? She didn't encourage me to have one wife. She didn't encourage me to live righteous life. She was opposing it. You know, they were telling us we should go out to the world and do things. You know what I mean? So we had to resist it, actually. And we had to make up our mind. And say, regardless of the world, regardless of the encouragement, so-called, of the parents and the wicked environment, we had to make up our mind. And you know what? In a certain way, it did help us. At least, it did help me. Because I have seen the wickedness of it. And not only the wickedness, but I have seen the... what would be the word? The emptiness of it? Isn't it so? Isn't it true? You see, you go to the world, and if there's a heart, and I believe there is, you wouldn't be sitting here, I hope. If you don't have the heart, which is seeing the world and seeing the things of the world and saying, I do not want this. Amen?
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
I do. And I'm not talking drugs. I'm not talking alcohol. Of course, that's part of it. But you look at it and it's so void. It's so empty. Isn't it so? And you go there and you might be searching for a while and you might be thinking, well, what is there? What can I try? And you know, whatever they offer, you look at it and say, with all respect, there's nothing in it.
Yes, amen.
There's nothing in it. You know, it might look interesting, but then you find out no power. And for me, one of the biggest things is, it seems like there's no death. Amen? Isn't the world, as well as the religion, extremely shallow?
Yes.
You want to talk death. You want to share with somebody. And it seems you understand each other for a while. And you know, that was my problem. By the way, that was one of the reasons I got born again. Because I was talking to people, and I was very disappointed. Because that we couldn't flow, we couldn't understand each other. It was so shallow. It was just scratching the surface. And I believe there's something deeper. There must be something more there. Amen? And, to make a long story short, when I have heard,
I only heard that there might be a God. In a way, that was hope for me. Saying, well, if anybody, God would be the one who wouldn't be shallow, would he?
Amen.
Amen? Amen. He would be the one who would be able, as we talk, can we talk? You know, these are my thoughts of you. There will be somebody I can have a relationship with in such a depth I can have with nobody.
Amen.
Because there are limits. Have you ever reached a limit in relationship with somebody, parents and brother and sister? You would like to go further and you just can't. Because there is not the ability. There is not this compatibility. Isn't it so?
Yes.
Amen? And you try to go and say, well, I don't know how to, I can't find anything where I will be able to go deeper and share the depth. Isn't it frustrating? And you know, I did realize two things. One is, there's God which has no limits. There's God which has no limits. And you can go as deep with Him as you can. But then the other thing is, I realize His frustration with me. Amen? Because He's looking around and seeing and thinking the same thing. Where is somebody who would be deep enough that I can share with Him my heart? Everybody is so shallow. And I know the desire of the Lord to find somebody He can talk to, but not only talk to in the way that it goes in and out, but talk to in a way that you talk heart to heart. He spake different things and different ways to different people, but to Moses.
Hallelujah.
How did He talk to Moses? Oh, even closer than that. Mouth to mouth. And I was thinking about it. I said, Lord, this is a weird expression. Why would you say mouth to mouth? I mean, if you say mouth to ear, you know what I mean? That would make sense to me. And, you know, I'm asking the Lord these things. Yeah, but you say, God, I mean, people don't talk mouth to mouth. Because one speaks and the other hears, listens. But I know there are no mistakes. Do you know there are no mistakes in the Bible?
Yes.
And when you find something weird, you think?
Yeah.
There's a mystery there?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Can you say amen?
Yes, amen.
You know? So I go and I say, Lord, I mean, mouth to mouth. I would like you to talk to me mouth to mouth, but I would like to understand it. And the Lord, you know, said, well, it's a meat. It's a word that you eat. You're just not listening to it. Moses wasn't there just to listen about it. It was a depth. He was able to eat it.
Amen.
And he was able to eat the word, and by the word he was able to run. Isn't it somebody mentioned here today? The chapter 4 of John. And wasn't Jesus saying, I have
meat
to eat that you know not of? Can you say amen?
Amen.
You know, there is a certain dimension. And I trust that these are people whose heart is at least sensing that there is something special out there. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And, you know, God can talk to us in a way that He would lift us from His natural realm to spiritual realm. And you know, there is one thing. When I was looking for God, I didn't know actually He's looking for me, but when I was looking for God and asking this question, if there's a God, can we become friends and can I talk to Him? Will He be somebody who would understand me? And you know what? Wouldn't be laughing about my thoughts. Because the ideas I had being a teenager, you know, it was to be laughed about, of course. You know, like, you can be faithful in your marriage or your life. You know what I mean? What I try to share with somebody, everybody's laughing. My parents, my brother, you know,
oh, you're just 16, oh, you're just young.
You know what I mean? And but I said, don't tell me there's not something deeper. Don't tell me I cannot flow. And at least, can I dream about it? I was thinking to myself. You know what I mean? And then, when I was looking for God, I said, Lord, I mean, yeah, I did actually pray, without believing in God, really, you know. But it was an earnest prayer, and God was willing to hear it. I said, God, I don't believe in you. But if you are there, I really need you to find me and do something, because I don't know where to find you. I don't know where to go, what to do, you know, where you are. And if you are there, I trust you can hear me, and you can come to me, because I don't know where to go. Amen? Maybe funny prayer, I suppose. But I did mean it. Because I was sensing that maybe there is somebody who is not of this world who will at least understand what I'm after, what I'm seeking. Somewhere in my heart, I wasn't able to put it into words. If you are asking me, I would be just perhaps a naive teenager, as many people would say. But I believe there must be something deeper than what I see around. Amen?
Amen.
There must be something more. And you know what? I got born in a way that I was not in the church. I was somewhere out, you know, somebody told me how to get born again, to make longer story short. And I did get born again. I received Jesus and I was so thrilled. I was so happy. I was so excited. I believe as many of you, when you received Jesus. I came back to my hometown, started, you know, go to school next Monday, and I was looking forward to go to church on Sunday, because that's what we Christians do. Amen? So, Sunday is approaching, and I look around, and, well, the biggest church in the city would be the Catholic Church, in our case. I don't know what you have here. But for me, the biggest would be the Catholic, so I did decide, well, what do I do as a Christian? Go to church on Sunday, right? You know, I was very disappointed. You know why? He didn't come. I thought the Christians go to church to meet with God. And it's very disappointing.
Need help? Okay.
You know, so it's like going to a meeting with somebody, invite somebody for dinner, and he doesn't appear. How would you feel? Huh? Not good? Disappointed? Turned down? So I went to this church, and of course, you know, they do all these things they do, but there was no God in it. There's no God in it. And I said, well, in that case, you know, so I was a Catholic for one Sunday, actually. You know, I don't know if I can fully relate to some people who spend there longer, but yes, I was Catholic too for one week, one Sunday, that is. Amen. I never came back. Because I said, you know, the problem was, I was spoiled. You know what I was spoiled with? I was spoiled with God. And I said, Lord, God, you can talk to me. You can change me. You can do something in my life. We can walk hand in hand, if you believe it. Can you believe it? You know, maybe I was a naive 16-year-old teenager. Maybe I'm still naive. I don't know. Maybe I'm still living a dream. But I'm living it, actually. But the thing is, I believe that I can talk to God.
Amen.
I remember once we were going with Christina in a train. It was even before we were married, and we were traveling from somewhere to somewhere, and there was a lady, and she talked to us, and you know, we talked, her all excited about mission work later, blah blah blah, and she was Freud. She was very happy. She said, you know, there's good young people and they believe in God and this. And she was very happy. Till one moment, till we told her, God told us. What do you mean God told us? Well, God speaks to us. God speaks to nobody. You know, are you crazy? And she just was very unhappy with us because we were challenging her and we were telling her story after story how God is speaking. She was so happy being a Christian and us being Christians, but she was so very unhappy about us talking about God talking to people. Why would you want a God who can't talk to you? And you can't talk to him. Well, actually, you can talk to him, but he wouldn't reply.
It's sometimes like a dialogue with me and my wife when I'm very tired. My wife talks to me and after a while she says, are you sleeping? No, I'm not. Well, I think I am. You know what I mean? And of course that doesn't make her satisfied, so she says, well, I think we talk about it in the morning, don't we? And I say, yeah, I'm sorry, I suppose. You know what I mean? Why wouldn't she carry for another hour? There's no point, is there? You know, I'm not interested in a prayer where I'm just talking and then I finish the amen and that's it. You know what I mean? And the thing is, I had this desire to hear God, to share with Him, to understand Him, and yet I realize that God has this desire even more than me. That it has been actually in me because of Him. He has put it in me. He has actually created in me. Isn't that something?
Yes.
He has created man after His own likeness and image. Well, He's in a way, as we know, in the process of finishing the job. But He has the ability and the need and the desire to have a creature or creation. I don't know if creature is not a bad connotation, but anyway, creation,
yeah,
that can be compatible with God. And you know, I knew when I believed in Jesus Christ and I started to read the Bible, I knew that there's a God, and I knew that there's a man. Never ever it would cross my mind that the two are of the same kind. You know what I mean? It was too big for me. I would have rejected it, you know, as extreme doctrine or something, because of course we know God is there and we are here, right? But then this word has come. I don't know how you call it. I just don't like to give it title because then kind of it seems it expires and, you know. So I kind of simply call it this word. And we all know what we are talking about, correct?
Yes.
Amen. So when I heard this word, you know what shocked me the most? You know what was so fantastic and so exciting about it? Do you know what put my heart on fire? Tell me. The ability. Well, let's say combination of two things. One, the greatness of God. How big God is. And the second thing is, He desires to make me the same.
Amen.
Can you imagine? I mean, it's impossible. If I look at myself inside, alright, if I look at myself inside, I look at my soul, I look at my mind, I look at my emotions, I look at my abilities, and actually I can say disabilities, really. Mm-hmm. Amen. When I look at it, I say, God, I see You and I see me, and there is such a gap.
Yes.
There is such a difference. And I'm not talking intellectually, alright? I'm not talking that the way He can count or that He sees universes and He sees outside and inside. It's great, but that's not actually the thing which, you know, I'm not interested in being the biggest genius and count to billions. That's not, it's so impressive for me. And actually Jesus wasn't. But he was limited here. He limited himself, didn't he?
Yes.
So actually if you gave him a very difficult mathematical formula, he perhaps wouldn't be able to resolve it unless the Lord speaks to him, the Lord Father. Which he perhaps could, and he would. But that's not what it is. We are talking about the pure character. We are talking about the ability of God to make you a perfect, perfect man.
Amen.
To make you in a way that when people ask you about God and say, hey Martin, alright, show me God. You know what is supposed to be my answer? And I hope you won't get offended. Look at me, yeah. Look at me. Walk with me for a day. You know, nothing cheap. No scriptures here and there. You know, when they asked Jesus, well, there are two things. When Philip was asking Jesus, show us Father. He said, Philip, I'm with you for these years. And you're still asking me to show you Father? Look at me. What have you seen? And he said, yeah, that was Jesus. For his, everything which was said about him, you find a scripture that God is commanding you to be light. Whether, if he was the light of the world, you are supposed to be the light of the world. Did you know that? I don't know, you know, and I'm praying, God, open our eyes to really see and understand what we are talking about, what we are touching here. You know, honestly, some people ask me, my kids especially, you know, they have all these questions, Daddy, where would you go if you left this fellowship? You know, and I say, honestly, I have no clue. I mean, knowing this, having this concept, tell me a single reason why you would turn away and go to a church system. What would you do there? Okay, it's Sunday morning, you sit there, you know, they sing music, and if you can make it through the music these days, you know, if you are still there, you know, then there's this something happening, and your heart just would have to be, you know, sudden and empty. I say, well, is this it? What do people see there? You know what I mean? So the thing is, if you know that God is offering us, isn't that an offer? Yes, it's kind of command, and yet it's an offer, which you can turn down. As we have seen and heard, we can turn it down and settle for less. Brethren, you can turn it down and settle for less. You wouldn't be the first ones. You wouldn't be pioneers. Amen? There are whole nations who have rejected this offering. There are whole groups or congregations. There are whole, I don't know, and people who have been close to Jesus. They have seen, they have observed, and they have rejected it. Even one of his apostles did. It's possible. It's available. If somebody's interested, it's available. He is a gentleman, which I talked to him about, and I said, Lord, there's something I have against you. And that's this free will business. You know, I said, Lord, I know I don't know what I'm talking about, but Lord, why didn't you make me obey you? Why didn't you make me do it? You know what I mean? Why did you give me this free will? You know, but Lord, of course, did explain me, and yes, of course I know. But sometimes my preference would be make me do it. You know what I mean? But it's just I won't. It's not in my nature. It's not in my character. You know, so he's knocking there, while the devil would, you know, rush in, open the door. If you keep the door locked, he would try to get it by window or break it, you know what I mean? The devil is trying to, you go and the devil is trying to bombard you. You know, these days he's got everything now. Visuals, you don't need to be looking for it. I ask somebody, you know, naive, I know. But I asked somebody in our school system, and I asked somebody, I don't know the age, but it was a grammar school. It was, you know, kids. And I said, hey, just out of interest, if you want to buy drugs, do you know where to go? Is it something, you know, that everybody knows? Is it, you know, where do you know where would you go? Or is it difficult? Or it's easy? Or, and he's looking at me, you know. And I said, what do you mean? What do you mean, go? And he said, well, I mean, go somewhere and ask somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody, maybe. And he says, no, I mean, it's the other way around. And I said, what do you mean? Well, you have to keep rejecting it. What do you mean? Well, I mean, not only half of the people at the school are on drugs, but a quarter of the school is selling it. So you have to keep rejecting it. You have to just, you know, when they come and they tell you, it's not that you need to go somewhere, you know, you're being offered constantly and you have to reject it. Where have I been? I don't know. You know, not in public school for sure.
Oh my goodness.
You know what I mean? And in the same way, you don't need to go. What is the saying? They say, it's only a click away. Yeah? Everything is only a click away, isn't it? Every form of a sin you can imagine. Oops. Every form of sin you can imagine is just a click away, isn't it?
Yeah.
Effortless. Mm. Effortless. Things our parents wouldn't dream of. Mm. Fortunately. You know what I mean? Every filth possible. In every way. Religious, worldly, riches, books, anything, any form of sin, any form. Alright? So, sorry, I'm being clumsy. So, the idea is, you see that the devil is there bombarding. It's visuals, you go billboards, alright? Advertise anything, you know, and it's all related to billboards you can hardly look at. Music, if you can still call it music, you know, sometimes I have a tendency, I don't do it anymore, but I did ask twice, you know, because I thought so, well, I kind of knew it's not true, but I kind of wanted to double check. I was somewhere and there was this music, so I went to them and said, hey, it's kind of broken, can you start it? I said, what do you mean? And I said, it's like a, so you think, you know, it looks stuck, you know, because normally with the music, you would assume it kind of continues, but this one didn't, so for a while I thought it stuck, you know, and you ask them and say, well, the music got stuck, can you do something about it, because it's very annoying. I said, you don't like it? I said, do you? I said, yeah. I said, is it on purpose? I said, yeah, it's not stuck, you know. So for a minute, it's not moving anywhere. It is. Have you heard it? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And it's all around. You are being bombarded. Sensual, being bombarded. Why do you think the devil is so much interested in your soul? Why do you think the devil is so much interested in your soul? Because that's the only material
yes.
in the world that the spirits can multiply by. Did you know that? He cannot take wood and out of wood make another spirit. He cannot take gold and out of gold make another spirit. Did you know that? But there is a material very precious.
Oh, yeah.
The soul of man.
That's right. Yeah.
And the soul of man is the only thing which allows the spirits to multiply.
That's right.
The spirit can create another spirit. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Your soul is the only place where they can go and they can multiply.
Right.
And he asked, why, God, did you allow it? And God says, well, because that's originally my idea.
That's right.
Because I'm a spirit.
That's right.
I'm a spirit, and the only way how to multiply, the only way how I can have sons is to come and fully overshadow your soul.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
And then God can reproduce as he did already once. Because we have the capability. The only problem is the devil is doing it by force. Without you noticing, you have walking devils. And what is sad, and we have to be very careful, it's about our children too. They think they are cute in a certain ways they behave, or certain things they wear, and certain things they do. And they think we parents are too strict when we tell them, well, you're a boy, don't wear earrings, you know, and things like this, and, you know, and this t-shirt. Can you read at least what is in a t-shirt, and is it something that you are, you know, finding this in the Bible? You know, and other things. You see, and sometimes I see Christians and the benevolence of the Christians towards each other. I know that they are not understanding the spiritual principles of spirits. They do not know, brethren. They do not know. And parents and Christians do not realize when we are allowing ourselves and we are letting certain things go to our soul that it's actually the devils who are making devils out of us. And we think, in this way, we are free will people. And we are don't understand we are being used and misused.
That's right.
Amen? And we think, you know, people, it's fun, kind of funny. The girl comes and she takes the skirt, if you still call it a skirt, you know. And she says, it's because I'm free. I want to be free. Are you joking? You're not free at all. The reason you're dressed away, it's because you're obsessed, you're possessed.
Yes, you're in bondage.
Because you're in bondage, isn't it true?
That's right.
Yeah. Can I say amen?
Amen.
People do certain things, they put tattoos on themselves because they want to express that they are free. Yeah. It's like a, it's like if a, how do you call in English these,
Handcuffs.
Handcuffs, okay. So the handcuffs. It's as if I would be wearing a handcuffs to prove you I'm free. He'll say, hey, Martin, why are you wearing those? Well, actually, I'm free. You know, I'm free. What do you mean? Well, they told me I shouldn't be doing it, but I want to prove I can. I'm free. You know? Actually, can you open this for me? You know what I mean? It's called freedom, and yet it's bondage.
Yes.
But the Lord is there behind the door. And I told him, I said, Lord, with all respect, would you mind to not be louder sometimes to me? You know, can we make a deal that if I'm not opening, you would consider the door being open and open yourself? You know, person, I can't do this. It's against my nature. You have to invite me. I said, all right, Lord, I'll keep inviting you. And if it takes me a while, forgive me. All right? Because there are doors in my soul. There are doors in my soul. God is still knocking on.
That's right.
And I'm perhaps dumb to hear them, to hear the knock. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You have compartments of your soul where the Lord hasn't visited yet.
That's right.
And do you have compartments in your soul which the Lord has visited and cleansed?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Can you tell the difference?
Yes.
That's the real freedom, isn't it?
Yes.
When he sets you free, you are really free.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. When he sets you free, you're really free. So, coming back to this vision, what is your aspiration? What do you believe? You believe you live a Christian life, sort of, and then you die, and you make it to heaven and don't make it to hell? Is that satisfactory? Is that the thing? Well, in that case, of course, it would be very difficult to give up things. You know what I mean? It would be difficult to give up things. But if you have a vision, and you really see what God has in store for you, if you really see the joy, if you really see the transformation, if you really see that you can leave this earth and that you can be at the same time here physically,
yes,
and yet in heaven,
yes,
then it's another ball game, isn't it?
Yes, amen.
The problem is you have to believe it first.
Yes.
If you find the strange doctrine too crazy, you will never have it. I think it was Henry Ford, and perhaps he was some believer, I don't even know. But I think it was him who said, whether you believe you can or you can't, you're right. He must have gotten it from the Bible anyway. You know, sometimes we clap hands to these people who will say something and they only quote Bible anyway.
Right.
So the idea is, whether you, if you don't believe it, you're right, it'll never happen in your life. If you don't believe, you can make the transition and the step. If you believe it's not for you, I'm afraid you're right. You know what I mean? It's true. Proven over and over and over. And in that case, we are a little bit wasting our energy and time. If you do not believe that you personally put your name there, that you personally can be the one who will make the step and step over the line and become the same nature as God is. If you don't believe it, you won't do it, but if you believe it, if you believe it, you're one of those people who could. Not because of what you are, but because of what He is and because of what He promised.
That's
a good starting point.
Amen.
If you are not sure, do go to Bible and find all the scriptures which say it. And if it's not lying, this is a promise which is surely made. If you still are doubting, do go to Bible and find the people who went before us. Of course, Jesus is one of them, first of them. And He will have a position which none of us will ever have, because He is head, and we are not becoming head, of course.
Amen.
Amen. However, wasn't He the first of many brethren?
That's right.
You know, and this is something which excited me, because some people are very excited that God can forgive. All right, I'm too. It's great, but it's not enough. You know, I was very glad when I heard God can forgive me, and it was good. But then I was told, not only He can forgive you, but He will change you.
Amen.
In a way,
hallelujah,
that you will do your free will, and yet it will be the will of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And I know a few examples in my life, even before I was born again, which are the case. I was very fortunate about drugs and smoking. I never went into it. Alright? So actually for me it's not overcoming. And maybe you have things in your life which are no problem. You know what I mean? Because you are not compatible with this kind of sin. It makes you sick even to think about it or see it. You know? There was a certain picture someone had made, put on a billboard. You know? I won't even mention it because it's disgusting. You know? Bias, you know, something to do with you, man. And you just go by, gross. You know what I mean? It's something which is, and honestly, do you know that every single sin will become like this for you?
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
You will not have to fight it.
Yes,
praise the Lord.
You will not have to be fighting it and holding a chair.
Amen.
And saying, God, I know I shouldn't.
Praise God.
But you will kind of, this thought will cross your mind because the devil will put it there, and it'll say, oh, gross.
Praise the Lord.
Who would ever think about this?
Amen.
You know, but the idea for me to take a drug, it's gross. You know what I mean? It's something, why would one do this? You know, but there are certain things. There are certain things I know I have to overcome. You know I shouldn't eat this, but it looks so appealing, you know. And then I do, and then I repent, you know. And I just mention food because it's easy to mention. You know what I mean? But there are certain things. And one of these, that's my vision. You know, that's my vision. My vision is... I'll tell you a few of my visions, if I may. May I? One of my visions is that I'll be able to hear God so very clear. And I'll know it's God.
Amen.
Is it your vision?
Amen.
It's still like a radio. You know? It's kind of like the old style of radio, I mean. You remember? You know, the button and go, and there it starts to speak. And you hear it. You know, and you hear it clear. And then, so you keep going. You know what I mean? And this is the way I hear Lord. Sometimes,
yes.
I hear very clearly He speaks. Sometimes, is it you? You know. But I know the promises, I will hear Him very clearly. Jesus, He didn't have this. He didn't have to go through this. You know, sometimes I'm praying and I'm asking. Sometimes I ask the Lord and He says nothing. You know, and then He tells me later, well, I already said something. Why would I repeat myself? Oh, yeah. You know. So, one of my vision is the ability to hear God. And I have these experiences. Mm-hmm. He's giving me these to, is it a good expression to say, water my mouth?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. He's giving me these experiences, just to say it's available.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, we were it was the last trip in Philippines. You know, and we were praying for people, and I was there. Sister Ify was with me, remember? And we were praying with the people, and the people were coming, and when they approached, it was the first time I've seen them. You know, I didn't see the people before, and you didn't see them before, obviously. And the people are coming, and the people were not telling us the thing they were supposed to be telling us. You know, they came for pray for something, you know. And the Lord, you know, he wasn't it person after person, person after person, you know. And the Lord gave us a revelation. I think the people were not very happy, some of them, about it. Because they wanted to confess something very basic and something very neutral and general and nothing, you know. But we were standing there with Sister Ify and we said, well, this is not why you came. Well, yeah, this is why I came. I said, man, that's not why you came. The Lord is telling me something else. Do you want me to say it or will you say it? You know. Some people wanted us to say it. Some people said it themselves. After, you know, well, perhaps this is it. I said, no, this is not it. Come on. You know. And finally, they drilled down and they were speaking and confessing. You know, it is not something which is regularly happening on a daily basis. Amen? But I know it's available. I know God can speak. You know, you can prophesy, you can speak, you can see into situations, you can see into people. Do you believe it?
Yes.
And my vision is we will not walk out of this. You know that we will be in the presence of the Lord all the time, too.
Amen.
And hearing and speaking. I, you know what's funny? I'm my profession is I'm teaching. You know, I'm teaching some management things and project management, and it's happening more and more. And I start to be scared about it. You can laugh, but it is scary, you know. And I don't know what to do about it, so I don't know. However, more and more, when I'm talking, I'm prophesying, and the people started to notice the clients, and they keep asking me about it. They say, you know. They ask me example, and I just make up an example and say, well, for example, there would be somebody, and he would come to you and tell you this. And I quote things and numbers and situations which I just made up. And they look at me and say, how do you know? I said, what do you mean? And they said, this guy came yesterday, and he said this, and he leaves his number. I said... you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's not because I would, but it's got, like God is teasing me and say it's available. If you just listen, if you just hear, if you're paying attention, if you're paying attention. You know what I mean? Do you believe, or you believe it's just available for somebody?
No.
It's available for all of us. And I say, God, where or what can I do to be tuned all the time? And I know it's available. This is my vision. How can you have this vision and go to church? What would you do there? the games become pastor, bishop? Are you joking? It's like if they offered Jesus a position. You know what I mean? It's funny. Don't you want to be a Caesar? I'm God. Come on. You know, why are you demoting me? Don't you think? God is offering that He'll talk to you in a way that you will hear Him clearly and sharply every single second of your life. And He's giving us these glimpses of it.
Yes, sir.
I remember, it was school time. I like this story because it's kind of unique, at least for me it's unique, you know. And we are there in school. Wasn't it? No, I was in Prague, actually. And Christina, which was not my wife at that time, was a schoolmate. But that's this Christina. And I don't know whether Thomas wasn't around, maybe not. But he was from the same school. And I remember I was in Prague. And talking to a few people in a living room setting, and there, the Lord just stops on my shoulder and says, "Can I talk to you in private?"
Okay.
So I excuse myself. You know, it's kind of funny how you excuse yourself. Excuse me, God won't talk to me in private. but I did, you know. So
I said, "Sure, I mean, God wants to talk to
you." You know. So I'm asking, what is it? And he says, well, it's not. I need to tell you about a situation which is happening at a school, which is, 300 kilometers, 350, I don't know, kilometers from where I was. And I know it was Wednesday. And he says, well, they have a meeting there now. You know, the kids, we were meeting there. And I says, well, what do I have to do with this, you know? And he says, they are digging in the Bible, and they have this situation, and they have this scripture, and they have this problem, they have this question, and they can't resolve it. I said, well, okay. And it was pre-cell phones. And he says, well, I gave them this idea that they would go to the city, go to the post office, and call you because they know where I'm staying. And they had an idea, perhaps had no idea why, you know, to call me and ask me, what do I think about it? And I said, well, they call you, and this is the question, and this is the answer. I said, okay. So what can I do? He says, nothing, just wait for the call. Okay. So I went back to the living room and I said, well, I'll get a call soon. You know, wasn't it like this? And a few minutes later, the phone rings. You know, and there they are. I don't know how many of you squeezed into this little booth, you know. And I think it was you on the phone, wasn't it? Or somebody else, was it you? And she was on the phone. She says, Martin, you know, we had this meeting and we were thinking to call you. I said, wait a minute, save your coins. You had this meeting, and this is the scripture, this is the question, this is the answer. I said, thank you very much, bye. And they saved a few coins. You know what I mean? It's available.
That's right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? God wants to talk to you. You know, I don't know what it is, but I know that there are people, and I was sitting on the word, I heard Brother Dusil, and there was few of us sitting there. And I was very puzzled about one thing. Brother Dusil was saying something. And I said, oh yes, I want this. And there was a brother next to me. And I said, oh no, he has it and I can't.
He has what?
He has it and I can't. And I can't have it. There's a word being shared.
That's right, sir.
And the sum, it's opportunity.
That's right.
And the sum, it's rejection.
That's right, sir.
I don't know how it works. But some people, when somebody is saying something, they hear it as yes, it's available.
Yes.
I read a scripture, I read a book, I read a Bible, I read Enoch, and I say, God, I know it's available. I know I'm not there, but I know it's available for me.
Yes.
Forgive me that I'm not walking like Enoch yet.
Yes.
But I know I can.
Yes.
And I'm deciding I want to. Help me.
Yes.
It's like I believe, help my unbelief.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
God.
And some people, they read about Enoch and they are condemned because they are not walking like Enoch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's leading nowhere. It's leading nowhere. So why don't you are better inspired? You know, so when I heard it, I said, Lord, how come it's available and I don't have it all the time? And I could go, and perhaps many of us could go story by story. Do you have this experience God was talking to you that it was so sharp and was so clear? Amen. And then you could speak a word and you utter the word and, you know, people said, what is this? You know, and you could, oh, of course you could say, well, you know, but we are hopefully scared and afraid to do so, right? Amen? Because I'm afraid, honestly, there are certain things I wouldn't do because I'm not sure I wouldn't drop dead the next second. I'm afraid, I know he's there. Actually, he's very close, he's in here. Okay. And I know there are certain things, if you take the... One of the things, for example, I'm very afraid of. If he does something and I take the credit, I say I did it by some, you know, some ability. Honestly, this is my personal fear. I think he might smite me there in a you know, the next second. You know what I mean? Do you believe he can?
Yeah.
And some people died. And I wonder, you know, some of them, I'm sure, have died because they have stepped over, and the Lord says, I have to take you, because from this point on, you will destroy what you have done so far.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm very afraid. I'm very afraid that I would step over this and die before I have arrived
right.
to what God, to where God wants me to arrive in this earth. Amen. So, why I'm saying all this? I'm trying to share the vision I had. Because believing this, it helps me to get over certain things and give up certain things which would be difficult. Honestly, not to wear a t-shirt with some rubbish on it, it's effortless for me.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I don't care for it. Really. And do certain other things, you know, do this and do this, do this. Certain things are effortless. And these things which need effort, I can get the energy, I can get the strength from the vision I have. Amen. I have a few more visions. One of my visions is I can hear with the Lord. I can hear the Lord. The other thing, I can understand Him. Did you notice how people don't understand each other? As if they, it's not like just when Brother Chijoke is speaking, and those of us who are not native speakers who try to tune, you know. I don't mean this language barrier thing. Alright? I mean the mindset barrier, which is even worse. You talk, you use the same words, you can be both English speaking people, perfectly English speaking people. You can be wife and husband, you can be brother and brother in Christ. And you see him, you don't understand each other.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen? And I always pray and I say, God, help me somehow with this person to overcome this gap. How can I, you know, how can I overcome it? How can I make them understand what I'm really saying and what I'm not saying? Because I'm saying something and they are hearing something else. You have this experience?
Yes.
All the time, isn't it?
Yes.
And isn't that frustrating? You say, God, if I can... You know, I have tendency sometimes to say, come on, just look! You know what I mean? Just look! And you see how it really is. But I can't do it. You know? And between here and the mind of the other person or the soul of the other person, it gets twisted a few times. You know? And I only know from the reaction.
Yeah.
Because you say something and the reaction goes, oh, what did I say? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I say, God, I know it's because certain incompatibility. Something has happened and the two souls are not compatible. And they can be seemingly talking the same language, yet it's not the same language.
Yes.
And I say, God, help us to get over this. Yet, God is giving me this frustration just to understand His frustration with me.
Yeah.
He's saying something to me.
Yes.
And it goes, and I hear something else. And I react. And God says, what has happened, this guy? You know what I mean? What has happened? What is it? So my second vision is, God will talk to me and I understand exactly what He's saying.
Amen.
What He meant. And the other thing is, I will be able to take the word, unwrap it. You know, it's, you know, that's why he spoke word, I mean, mouth to mouth.
Yeah.
You can unwrap it, the word. What do you find there? What do you find there? tell me. Because there's a mystery there. What do you find if you receive the Word of God and you open it? What is there?
The truth.
Huh?
The truth.
It is truth, yes.
Life.
Huh?
Life.
Life. You're coming close to what I mean.
Revelation.
Revelation, huh?
His mind. His mind.
His mind. Vision.
Seed.
Seed.
Mindset.
Mindset. All right. Let's take a seed. What is in the seed? There are two things. They're in the seed. I'll tell you one. There's information. The seed knows everything about itself. There's one more thing. There's a power. There's a power in the word. Do you know what a power is? The power is to make the seed happen what it's supposed to be. Did you know that? I mean, honestly, if you get a seed, if you get a seed, you put it in the ground, do you have to explain it what it should become? Have you seen a farmer or somebody sitting there on the ground and reading a manual? You know, say, and remember, 3 weeks from now, you are supposed to, you know, never? Huh? Or okay, maybe not this one, but maybe you have seen a farmer who is standing there and there's a tree. You know, maybe these days they would have machines and all days they would pull it themselves. You know, they are standing there because it's spring, right? So he's pulling. Goes to the next one. And making it grow. Pulling it. To grow. Or do you have to take your kids and just, you know, step on their feet and pull them? You're supposed to be growing, honey. You do not need it. So, why I'm saying this? In a seed, there is a power to accomplish the purpose.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you mess it up though. And there's the whole, what is it, faith movement, the whole thing, you know, which is saying, you know, now sit and do nothing. This song, I was hesitating for a while, do I sing it, I don't, I say, okay, I can sing, it's fine, you know, but recently we are dealing with some faith movement things, so I'm very sensitive on things, you know, you don't need to do nothing, Jesus did it, all right, but I can interpret it, I know how it works, how it's supposed to be, so I sing, so I sang it and I enjoyed it, you know. But I had to get over first over this idea, because I have to understand that the seed has its power in itself to do the job.
That's right.
But yet I still need to put it in the ground.
That's right.
I still need to water it.
Yes, sir.
Because I can have the perfect seed on a shelf and never have a tree.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So don't be confused about it, because you can be in two extremes and both are wrong. One is, you will become the power and the information of the Word. No need for it. That's not how God created it. The Word has the power to become what it's supposed to be. If you hear the Word, it already knows what to do with you. Don't worry. It can bring the power, it can bring the fire, it can do these things.
Yeah.
The other extreme is, you say, all right, I'm just sitting here in the church, I'm coming to the best fellowship, it's the best word, and just by coming here, it's like sunbathing, or what do they call these machines these days where you're sunbathing for 10 minutes? What is it?
Tanning booth.
Yeah, the tanning booth, or whatever. Yeah. Anyway, and this is how we believe it works in the church. Isn't it? We come in, spend the time for an hour on Sunday.
Amen.
You know, from both sides, kind of, try to turn, you know. And just because there was a word and a few songs, we leave and we believe it did a job. Isn't that so sometimes? Isn't that the mentality of the people sometimes? No response, no application, no repentance. You know, you hear the word and you do nothing about it. And you believe just because I was under it. Let me assure you that there were quite a few people, and you know, Peter, that for example, I have prayed for you. I mean, Jesus did. And before the morning, really, you know, you would deny me. Can you imagine that? It's possible to be sitting, under the feet of Jesus Christ, and there's nobody who can compete with Jesus Christ, obviously. In the power of the Word, in the preciseness of the Word, amen, in the anointing in the Word. None of us so far, in the last 2,000 years. Okay? However, even that didn't guarantee that it'll do it with the people. Look at Judas. Amen? He heard it all, but he didn't apply it, and he missed it. It's a scary thing.
Yes.
It is a scary thing. I mean, walk 3.5 years with Jesus and then commit suicide and go to hell?
Jesus.
Some people say, if I only was, you know, there with Jesus, walking with him, I think we are mistaken. In a way, it might be more difficult in certain aspects. You know what I mean? However, what I'm saying is, the Word, which we are hearing, has the power to make me Son of God.
That's right.
So my vision is, I will be able to hear Him all the time. Yes. And I pray, God, unplug my ears.
Amen.
Unplug my ears, whatever is stopping me from hearing you precisely. Second, change the filter, remove them. Amen. That when you speak, and whatever way you use, if it's a brother in Christ, if it's my wife, if it's a chair sometimes, you know, the chair hits you and you don't realize it's God speaking to you. Alright? Let me interpret it the way I should interpret it. Let me understand. I do not want to go get in the way. And I know I very often do. You know. So that's my second vision. I believe I will be walking the way that I will hearing and I will understand. I will know exactly what God has in mind. Amen. And I will be able to follow it and do it. My other vision is, I'll be able to flow with you. I have this vision. You can hardly satisfy me with church. You know what I mean? Because I believe I can flow with my wife. It was always my dream. People are laughing, you know. Well. And it's funny because they prolong the age. So, well, when you'll get married, you'll know. Alright, I got married and I still didn't know. I still believe I can flow with my wife. Oh yeah, newlyweds. You know, when you get a child, you'll know. I got a child and I still don't know. And even worse, I became a believer that I can flow with my kids.
Amen.
And they can obey me and they can flow with me in one spirit. Not only I can understand my wife, that when we talk to each other, not only we can be compatible and maybe like the same food or like the same way to stroll or whatever, you know what I mean? But I believe we can be flowing prophetically. Amen. And nobody will take it away from me. And in the moments when we don't, I'm not giving up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sorry for being dumb, you know. Let me help you and maybe I'll pray for you when you are not hearing, you know, because we kind of swap here and there, you know. However, I'm not giving up. And this is another thing you need to be careful about, I mean. When your current experience is saying something different than the Word of God, who is right? The Word of God, the promises, isn't it? Amen? So, when you are hearing from God that you can walk perfectly, and you don't change your doctrine.
Amen.
Don't change your doctrine, just repent. Amen? Because there are people who say, well, I tried it, it didn't work, I don't believe it. Isn't it true? I'm not giving up. So whenever you have this moment where things seem not to be working, it seems it's not the right thing, it seems you're missing something, I'm not giving up. So I did believe, after having a child, yes, I can flow not only with my wife, I can flow with my kids. And they can go with me the full length. And I should be able to give them the visions I had. And I'm working on it sometimes more or less successful. But I still believe it. I say, well, wait a minute, you have more kids. Then you have more kids. Then they say, wait till they are at least 5, 6, 10, 12, 30. And they keep adding. So I keep waiting. You know. Wait till teenagers. You know. Wait, so then she's 12 and 30. No, she's 12 and 30 and we still talk. You know what I mean? We still can flow. And I know kids who are 15 and 16 and 18 and 19 and I can still talk to them. And, you know, they never went through this phase. They are saying you're supposed to go through. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So my vision is, I'll be able to flow with each of you. With my wife, with my kids, and with you. Sometimes without words. Amen? I'm not saying we'll be able to read minds. I think we can go beyond that. Not only what you know, but I understand what you want to say. Sometimes it happens when I get in the spirit with Brother Bird speaking. It's sometimes kind of fun and amusing, at least for me. You know, I interpret for Brother Bird. And he speaks, and sometimes I get in the spirit and I forget to interpret. But I'm still saying the same thing. Only what is funny is sometimes I finish two sentences earlier. And then he just finished. Amen? And he would look at me and say, I already did it, sorry. And it's not always, but sometimes, don't worry about it, it's me. Okay? He would have to remove me. So, I know that sometimes we should be able, and I've seen it. I've been there. I'm just not able for some reason to be there all the time. You have this experience?
Oh, yeah.
Where you can be with somebody and you don't need to say much. And you flow. You know, I'm with my wife sometimes and, you know, and you want to open your mouth and there it is. You know, and she answers. You know, sometimes I'm dealing with my kids and they don't always like you, do they? Not always, huh? But, you know, they would come and say, Daddy, and I reply, and I answer. I said, how did you know that? You know, I said, honey, forgive me. Just, you know, before you did, the Lord spoke it. You know what I mean? And I don't know why he does it, the way he does it. But I think to prove and keep us on our toes and say, yes, it's available.
That's right.
Any minute, we would think it's not. He would give us another experience.
That's right.
And another experience. Yeah. And another experience. And he shows us, this is what I want you to be.
Okay.
Amen? And this is my vision. I mean, I could go on and list a few more. But these are the visions. These are the things. And, okay, let's go back to this definition of a vision. It is not something I desire or I want. But I see it happen. There is a thing which is confusing so many doctrines and so many people. The question is it done? Or do we still have to do it? Have you ever come across to this idea?
Yeah.
With so many people?
Yes.
You know? They come and there are some people who are confessing it's done. You know, and you can't be even praying in their presence, really. Because you ask some, you ask the Lord to do something, and they tell you, no, don't ask him, he already did it. Just thank him that he did it.
Thank you.
You know, I said, wait a minute, I mean, he says, come and ask, and, you know, it should be given. No. You know, it was already given, you just thank. You know, they, when they repent, I heard some of the prayers, you know, they wouldn't say, Lord, forgive me. They will say, Lord, thank you that you have forgiven me. Have you heard it? You never heard it? No, that's a normal faith movement. All these people have nothing new. Yeah? So, the whole confusion, you know, the whole confusion is there. People don't understand the thing in Him, how we're singing in the song. We are complete. In Him.
In Him.
In Him.
Amen?
Amen.
We are perfect
in
Christ, in Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, yes, it's true. That's where the faith movement has a point. And this is, it has been done. It has been done in the future, if you can put this English, you know, together. Is it possible?
Yes.
It has been done in the future. And that's not my poor English. I know it's poor, but it's not that poor. Okay? It means, imagine God, there is no time. How can you talk about future and history? And play about this. Okay? Once I had the opportunity to be like God. And I seen the beginning, I seen the middle, and I seen the end. I was on a plane. and I've seen the river. And I've seen a few boats on the river. They couldn't see each other. I could see one, I could see the other one. I could see the beginning of the river, I could see the end of the river. It was over Canada. I was flying to the States, somewhere there. And it was so interesting, and I was looking and I said, God, now I'm a little bit like you. You know, and I understand how you can see the beginning and the end at the same time.
That was right.
You know, I was just a little bit like him. But that was the experience. That was the, you know what I mean, the idea behind it. And I knew that God can see, you know, the beginning and the end. So, he can see you as a finished product. I sometimes encourage myself by cheating and looking to the end of the book. And I know, you know, sometimes you look around in the church, you look at it, and say, oh my, it's 21st century, you know, it's end of 7th millennium, you know, the time is ticking, it's almost over, and you look around, and you would be hoping for a better product. Don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I the only one?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's a thought, sometimes the devil tries to say, you're losing it, you won't make it. You know, God meant it, he promised it, but you never made it. Nobody made it. You lost mm-hmm. it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I go back to the book. Mm-hmm. I mean, I go to the back of the book.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I say, devil, there's 144,000.
Hallelujah.
It has been written.
Mm-hmm.
There are two witnesses.
Amen.
There's a first fruits company.
Amen.
With all... Well, you don't say it to the devil with all respect, do you? So,
no.
Without any respect. Okay? Without any respect, devil. There is a story written. Your future, as well as the church future, has been already decided, written, is known. The only question remains, and without respect, not about you, because there's no question about you.
Mm-hmm.
You'll end up
finished
forever.
Amen.
So the only question which remains, and this is just between me and my God, and you have nothing to do with it, is where do I stand? Will I be part of the 144,000, or I'll be out? Will I be part of the two witnesses, or I'll be out? Will I make it to the end? Will I make it to the Holy of Holies? Will I make it to the very core? Or will I settle for less and build a tent somewhere along the way? But the question is not, brethren, do not be deceived. Don't let the devil deceive you. The question doesn't exist whether the church will make it.
Fine.
It's a good news.
That's right, sir.
So, I hope you don't call me arrogant in this way, but I'm seeing myself, by hope, standing there in this group of people who are going to know the song which nobody else would learn because it's through experience, you can't cheat it. It's not the knowledge, it's the understanding, really. You know what I mean? I see myself and I say, God, help me that I wouldn't spoil it. Help me that I would not, by maybe not reacting, or maybe no action. Because sometimes it's not because what we are doing, but because what we are not doing.
Mm-hmm.
Help me, Lord. I would miss the calling, because I know the calling is available, and it's for sure.
Amen.
So, coming back to this, and perhaps the conclusion, the scripture, or the thought I wanted to share, there are maybe a couple of scriptures. Let me quickly find them for you. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Can he finish it?
Mm-hmm.
Who, for the joy that was set before him. By the way, did Jesus have a vision?
No.
Honestly, he wouldn't have been able to endure what he has endured.
Yeah.
Do you know what is the greatest thing he endured? The rejection of his father.
Yeah.
When he turned, he had to because he became sin.
Hmm.
And when Jesus became sin, Father had to turn away from him. And he was used all his life to have the Father looking at him, hearing him, speaking to him, looking at him. He was used to his presence all the time. And the worst thing which could have happened to him, you know, somebody was, you was mentioning that he was stripped naked, or somebody was, that, you know, it is bad enough that he's hanging there, you know, he was beaten up, that's bad enough. But trust me, that was not the worst thing.
Mm.
The worst thing was the presence of the Lord with all it contains was removed from Jesus. Amen. He himself wouldn't be able to endure this. He would make it. Unless he had vision. Because that's what the scripture says in Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Amen? Despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And now, I believe that the same could be said about you and me.
Yeah.
That for the joy which is set before us, we would be able to endure our cross and sit on the right hand of the Lord with him. Amen? So, I would like to encourage us to double check what the vision is. And maybe if you want me to link it to tabernacle, since we are supposed to talk about tabernacle, I started from the very end, which is the Holy of Holies. We know that there's a... What is in the Holy of Holies, by the way? Help me, students. Huh? Okay, we know that there's the Ark of the Covenant. Anything else? Mercy seat, very good. Anything else?
The cherubim.
The cherubim, on the mercy of the seat. Yes, 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 yes. Anything else?
The rod.
Huh?
The rod that budded.
All right, and the in there, all right, the rod and the manna, all right, the hidden manna. We are still missing one thing. Huh?
The tablets.
The tablets, yes. Anything else? Huh? The presence of God, Shekinah glory. Yes. Anything else?
The golden altar.
It's before it.
Yeah.
The ark of the box.
Come on. God. What about the anchor?
The anchor.
Did you know that? Yes. Yes. Because, yes. This is very, very important. You cannot make it without it. So in your tabernacle, if you have a picture in your mind of a tabernacle, and you're missing the anchor, you need to add it. All right, you're looking at me. I see all this. What are you talking about? This is something the Lord told me some years back. Somebody can find me in the scriptures from Hebrews in the meantime. Did you know that?
Yeah.
What is it? What is it?
619.
Would you mind to read it out for me, please, out loud?
Hebrews 619 says, which hope we have in the anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enter us into death within the veil.
Yes, don't forget the anchor, brethren. Don't forget the anchor, because you will not make it without the anchor. You know why? That's your vision. That's your hope. Your soul has an anchor attached to it. And the anchor is not settled for less. The anchor is not on the outer court. The anchor is not in the tabernacle. The anchor is not in the holy place. The anchor is in the Holy of Holies. And is sure. And steadfast. Amen? So, the direction, the availability, the promise is sure and steadfast. Amen? Hallelujah. Because if we do not have the anchor, brethren, the soul goes, you know, and wanders. If we don't have the vision, if we do not see, do you know you can see inside? Since when? Huh? Since Jesus died? Very good. Why? Because she died for our sins. He died for our sins, yes? The veil was broken. Do you know why? Do you know why it was broken? That you could see inside it. Do you understand it? If you do not see inside from outside, you have no hope. If your Christianity became a list of things you have to and you can't, so-called do's and don'ts, you will not be able to make it because the list is too big. You know what I mean? If your Christianity became do's and don'ts, and by the way, we can speak here, and this is what some people hear. Yes, you know, you can hear the word of Brother DeSale, and some people will be excited and energized, and some people go, the list of do's and don'ts is growing. I don't know what word they are listening to. I don't know, really. What is the thing that makes you believe that this is list of do's and don'ts? Amen? Because if your soul has the anchor, it cannot wander. But you have to take your eyes and fix it in sight of the Holy of Holies. Fix it there. And we could perhaps speak, and maybe God will allow us one day to do so, speak about the Holy of Holies, what's in there. The life, the presence of God, the nature of God, the Word of God written on us. Alright? The life which was in the... Well, it's not rot, it is, not stick. In the rot, you know, that it did blossom, you know. God is speaking about the life being in you, amen. About the Word God being in you, and you becoming the fullness of God Himself in you.
Praise God.
Bodily.
Well. Yes, amen.
Amen? So let double check your vision, double check your hope. And do feed yourself with a promise which will give you joy, which will help you to be looking forward to it, which will help you because of the power of it and the strength of it and the joy of it. It will help you to endure the incomparably smaller cross that you have to bear and go through. Amen? So be encouraged, brethren, because there's a journey ahead of us. But let your eyes be set on Him.
Amen.
And let your eyes derive the energy from the joy which is at the end of the story.
Yeah.
Because it is available. And it would be such a shame if we fall short as the ones who went before us did. Because they have mixed their faith with the word delivered. Amen? And they never made it to the promised land. Amen? So let's be diligent. Because He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And if we do diligently seek Him, it is impossible that anything would take us away from the love of God. Amen? If you diligently seek Him, you cannot miss it. If your soul has an anchor in the Holy of Holies. But of course, we've got examples of those who were not diligent and they, by their own decision, went astray. So the choice is yours, and I trust you are encouraged to go the whole way. God bless you.